for a good reason.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that.
For maps are generally done.
We could default to print it to black and white, so we'll be just using the black cartridge probably 90% of the time. Yep.
Yeah, I actually think that they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, do we need to make a motion to buy this thing? What do we need to do?
Yes, because I'm going to make a motion to go ahead and order this. Business copies like this, all sold out. Not sold out, but they're on order. So anyhow, I'll make a motion to go ahead and purchase the. Let me read it again.
So Jay, is this going to be complicated being December 31st, and is this really a withdrawal of capital reserve funds based on a 2020 decision versus waiting to do it maybe Tuesday next week?
Yeah.
We can make the motion to approve it today for an expenditure in 2021. How's that?
We can do that. Okay. Just so that there's a nice line of demarcation that we're not, you know.
Good point.
So I'll make that motion because it has to go on order, and I don't know what the lead time is. I'm thinking 2 weeks. And if that copier.
I'm sure it will be, like, I just have to hand do things. I would take it.
Do you know how much paper is going to go through that machine in the next 2 weeks with this virtual annual meeting?
We don't know that.
Every registered voter needs to get a certificate.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's be safe, and I'll make the motion and that it come out of the Capital Reserve Fund and that the expenditure be made in the year 2021. So you can go ahead and place the order when you come back on Monday next week. That will be
so
according to the website, it's back ordered till February 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're aware. Okay. I'm fine getting this.
All right.
Did you look at buying it anywhere else?
I did. Best Buy is in the same boat. It's the manufacturers. Everybody's working from home, and everybody's been buying these things.
This one says Best Buy curbside pickup today. Maybe it's wrong. Okay.
Go ahead and order, and you'll get the notice that it's not available.
Okay.
I can look.
All right. What was the cost on this? I didn't see that email. So what was the cost on it?
$599.99, $600.
Okay, that's a very good price for that copier.
Yeah, I think it was 20% off or something. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So motion has been made. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? And you could probably just go ahead and order cartridges under the regular budget.
Okay.
And that'll be next week.
Yeah, with Bob because he's on the line.
Yep, I'm gonna go right to Bob.
I would look at this because I know what you're saying, Jay, but I'm looking at it right now and it says there's two left, two available in Portsmouth.
Oh, there are.
I know that's kind of a waste. Yeah. So for pickup.
All right.
There's one in Portland. I don't know that. Maybe it's wrong. I'm not saying it's correct information, but I'm just looking at this thing. That's the closest store.
All right, I will check on Portsmouth tomorrow as I'll be driving by it. Okay.
Okay.
And if I, I'll just use
the credit card. Yeah.
I'll use my own in that week.
Okay.
Okay.
And well, you know what, Jay? I know it's a minor point, but I would call them today, reserve it, because tomorrow's New Year's Day. They're not going to be open.
Oh no, I know. I'll just I can go ahead and reserve it with my card.
Just order it. Just hold it, and then we maybe pick it up on your way back.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that when we're done with the game. But we got Bob on the line, and I hope everybody's had a chance to read some of the literature.
Did we vote? I'm sorry. I don't remember.
I thought we voted.
I thought we did.
Anyhow,
Paula's point. I vote yes in case we didn't.
Yeah.
I vote yes.
Okay.
And I just want to just go back to Donna. Donna, you have anything else?
No, just everything for signatures. So.
Okay. All right, so we have Bob Ingram on the line. Thank you, Bob, for calling in. Bob is the district's moderator, as most everybody knows. And the literature that was sent out pretty much explains how an optional meeting might be held due to the pandemic. And Bob, I'm just going to hand the microphone over to you because you actually own the annual meeting. as the moderator, as does any town moderator. So why don't you let us know what your concerns are and what your thoughts are going forward.
Okay. Well, as Jay and I discussed, he called me yesterday, it seems pretty obvious to me with the guidelines of the school only being able to handle 45 people safely that this year's annual meeting can't take place in the school. So, based on that, my recommendation is that we go with this optional meeting plan. I like this new one that you sent me, that kind of breaks everything down in a nice, concise way.
Yep.
And I'm sure you've all read it. So, you know, the...
Whoa.
Is that my
hello?
End?
Hello? Yep.
I'm still here. Did you guys hear that squeaking too?
We can hear you, Bob.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So, you know, the process sounds complicated, but it probably isn't really that complicated. We normally have an information session, budget hearing, right? So that doesn't change totally. We need to have this informational session. This here doesn't spell out at least actually the date that we have to do that. So there's still some questions here. It says we have to do seven days prior to the information session, we have to notify everybody by mail. So that's
every registered voter.
Yeah. That's what we need to work on first, I think, would be coming up with the packet that would be sent home. Now, I'm assuming that as we discussed yesterday, I'm assuming that would include, but not just, the process, explaining what the process that we're going to do, as well as information for them where to log in and when for the informational meeting. And then from that informational meeting, you know, it's sort of a question in my mind. Do we allow people, one of the suggestions is to simply have people respond after the meeting with their concerns, questions, comments, and so forth. And then we gather that information. They can do that via, I assume, you know, we'll set up something where they can log in or send an email, and we have, we will then accumulate that information. I think it would allow you, so based on that information, within 7 days from then, we have to have the virtual meeting. My concern is getting people to attend these meetings. I don't know what you're seeing. I mean, typically, commissioners' meetings don't get a lot of people going to them, even when they weren't virtual, as did the budget hearing. I mean, typically, from what I recall the past several years, you know, you might get 10 or 12 people at a budget hearing. Because this is more than just a budget hearing, I think it's important that we stress that people attend the informational meeting and that they're going to have the ability to communicate input from that meeting. Then within 7 days, we have to have the virtual meeting. And it says here at that time that we would have to read all of the comments and communication that we receive from the public, and then start going through those warrants. My thinking is it's going to be communication specific to certain warrant articles. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Well, Bob, can I ask a question? So
yep.
So we do a mailing to all the registered voters, and.
Yep.
Explaining what the procedures are going to be from that Drummond and Woodward, you know, overview, which was great. So we would include in that mailing the proposed budget and the proposed warrant articles for their review.
I don't think so, but I don't think it's a requirement.
It's Paula. I mean, I think, Bob, first of all, when I read through this, my first thing was, I don't think this seems very hard, guys. I mean, I don't know. I don't think this seems particularly complicated. All you're doing in this process is you were replacing the annual meeting with two virtual meetings. So I agree with you. The same question came up to me as when do you have to hold the public hearing in terms of 30 days prior to these meetings or 30 days prior to the second meeting, to the first meeting? So it might just change your public hearing by 1 week or by 2 weeks. I'm sorry. So, I mean, really, you have voting days the same. You know, you can keep it for the same day you have it scheduled, or we could even move it if we need to. And you have, it's just a drive-up ballot. But there's nothing that says you have to mail people all this information. You have to mail them you could mail a postcard or a letter that says, here's how we're going to be doing this. Here's how it's going to work, period. Both meetings, both virtual meetings, you do not need to have discussion. They can both just be us presenting in either case. It says on the second one, you can decide whether it would be interactive. It does not have to be if we consider that to be a problem. And then people show up and they vote. That's it. I mean, it's really just scheduling the dates and getting the information out about the process.
My initial question is, do we need three meetings?
Right.
Is it three meetings that we're required? Do we still need to do a full budget hearing prior to coming up with the thing? So that still has to happen. And that's supposed to happen, at least 30 days prior to the annual meeting?
Yep.
So it's really three. Right. So typically then it would be three meetings.
Right.
And I guess we need to verify that is a requirement. So I assume it is. So you're going to have your budget hearing. Then I have a little bit different of opinion than you regarding communication. So I look at this informational. I'm not sure exactly why we would have to have two informational meetings if we're having a budget hearing, which should go through the informational meeting, the first one, really is the budget hearing. But I understand that there are laws and you may have to do that other budget hearing.
So yeah, I hear you.
The communication that's required you're not required to send the warrant initially. But I think what we need to do is we need to have a link somehow on there that tells them where to go to get it so they
Absolutely.
Know that it's available. We still have to post it like we normally would, right? Those mm-hmm. things stay the same. In terms of the actual meeting, my thing is I don't know whether we need to have a lot of public discussion at both meetings. I'm looking at the first meeting as being information. We're feeding you information. Here it is. Now send us your comments. Those comments then are required to be read at the second meeting. I look at the second meeting as being our annual meeting. I feel as
the moderator. Session.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And go ahead.
Okay. Because one part that I read said that based on the comments received from the first meeting, we may adjust warrants and adjust budgets so that at the budget hearing, we will then present has been adjusted or modified based on that first meeting.
Hearing. You mean at the virtual meeting. In theory, there's three. There's the budget hearing, then there's the informational session, and there's the virtual meeting, right?
Okay. Because at the annual meeting, we're not going to. Okay. There should be. There's.
Yeah. Talk to the last meeting with the ballots handed in. Let's call that the drive-through meeting.
Right, because that's not going to be open for discussion.
Vote.
There's going to be no way
that's
for discussion to
that's
happen at that point.
Right.
It's not a meeting.
Not
it's
a
just
meeting.
People drive
that's
up
a,
and
that's
vote.
A vote. Right. Yeah, that's a vote. There are three meetings. There's one for a budget hearing, if that's still required, which we're assuming it is. Then there's the informational session. Then there's the virtual meeting. Then after all those take place, then there's the vote. So my thinking is that the informational session is a way for the governing body to present the information about each warrant article. And then the people have the ability to comment, send in whatever information you want. You can then, based on that information, adjust the warrant. You can't get rid of a warrant article, but you can adjust dollar values or your recommendation mm-hmm. to approve or not approve. And then we go to the virtual meeting, which in my head is the annual meeting. It's just it's going to be done virtually. At the annual meeting, we allow people to speak. I would hope that we would allow people to speak at this virtual meeting. I don't think it's going to be any worse than it is at an annual meeting. Just because we're doing it on, you know, electronically, we still could allow people to raise their hand and we call on them and they do their thing and so forth. And then we just keep track of that. It's allowing the people to let everyone else hear their opinion. And then we don't vote. There's no votes taken at the virtual meeting. It's simply communicating, and then the votes happen on the ballot.
If our annual meeting is on March 6th or whatever the date is that going to be the drive-through voting portion of it, or is that going to be the discussion of it?
I would expect that would be the drive-through.
Okay, so there'll be no discussion. All it's going to be is strictly go to the polls and vote based on the previous meetings.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
And there will not be an allowance for people cannot change things on the floor, because there will be nothing like that. So what will happen instead in this if we allow for discussion at this, and you can call it the annual meeting, I would call it the second informational session, but if you allow for discussion at that meeting, then it's really just up to us afterwards, because then we have to write, you know, then we just have to issue the ballot, which is the final warrant, which also replicates a ballot. We can either change things I think at that point we can still even change things, it sounds like. But at that point, the final ballot is issued and we send it out to people, I think electronically, which is just a sample ballot. People cannot change the warrant articles
That's correct. The last bullet on that first page says the governing body should understand the success in getting the public to approve the optional annual meeting process is directly proportional to the extent that the governing body's actions at the virtual meeting represent the sentiments and the expectations of the community. So you as governing body, if you hear and you see that the majority of people want, you know, $50,000 less for something, then it only behooves you to go along with that, because otherwise it probably won't pass. You know what I mean? That's sort of what they're saying here. You know, now I'm not saying you have to. That's still totally up to the governing body what they want to present on the article. But there's no way of changing it.
Bob, I will say one thing. There are two questions when I read all this. One is the first question you asked, which is, one, do we need to have a public hearing? And the only other question I said is, after the first meeting, it says we issue the final warrant, right? And then it says meeting we debate things. And then it says, and we've been permitted to amend the posted warrant. So after the first informational center, we can amend the posted warrant. And this gives us the sole authority to put the warrant in final form. And when it's in the final form, then we take it to the second virtual meeting. It does not say that we can change the warrant after the second virtual meeting. And that's a question I think you need to get answered. Because if that's the case, then really people can discuss and debate all they want, but we cannot change it at that point. So we need to find out if we can change the warrant after the second virtual meeting. That would be my only other question that I don't think is clear. Because it says here, second, the last information session, the governing body would make the final warrant available electronic for printing by voters to be brought to the voting session. So that, I'm not sure we can change it. That question.
If you look at that last bullet on that first page, it gets a little confusing, because they don't reference informational meeting. They reference a virtual meeting. And so it says, an annual meeting process that directly proportional to the extent that the governing body's actions. What actions do you perform at the virtual meeting if you can't make amendments to it?
Yeah.
Well, you can make changes after the first virtual meeting. That's what we do.
The first one is not a virtual meeting. The first meeting is an informational meeting. So
it's virtual.
When they refer to the virtual meeting, there's only one virtual meeting.
It's a virtual meeting. I mean, you can call it whatever you.
I think we need to clarify that because.
Hey, Bob, go to the first page, third bullet up from the bottom.
After the communications are read at the virtual second meeting, the governing body should take up each article one by one with either a motion to move the article to the alternative ballot, which is the drive-through, as printed, or right then at that second virtual meeting, amend the article based on the discussion that's happened just prior.
You guys, I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Right. What are you guys reading? I'm reading the thing from the NHMA. What are you guys using?
The Drummond and Woodsman, the practical considerations for Kentucky.
When did you send that out?
Yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it was kind of a recap from the lawyer's perspective or from an attorney's perspective.
I don't have that.
What time was that, Donna?
Can you resend it to me? I wonder.
Yeah, Donna's going to.
I may have filed it by mistake.
This is a practical, visually what you'll see happening.
Can you send that to me, Donna, right away? I'm just reading what the NHMA sent, regardless of what the lawyers said. And it basically says there are two live virtual meetings to inform the voters about the proposed meeting procedures, discuss the warrant articles, and finalize the warrant content.
Two for discussion and two for amending, is what I interpret that. Okay.
No, there's two meetings. So basically, whether or not there's a public hearing, let's assume there is not a public hearing. Even if there is a public hearing, we send the stuff out, and we have a public hearing, and people can give us all their comments. And then we issue the proposed warrant, and we have a meeting on it, and people can either comment or not. That's up to us, and people send us their feedback. And then based on that, we issue the final warrant, and we have another meeting. And we can decide whether people talk or not. And then a week later, they vote. That's it.
First of all, the governing body does not have the authority to decide if people can talk or not. That's up to the body, the people, and the moderator would recommend that. That's the first thing. It's not the commissioner's meeting at all. So you really don't have any authority over that. If you look at the whole write-up here, it clearly, to me, says that you present information at a session. And it doesn't talk about a budget hearing. It talks about the first session, and it's an informational session. The second thing is the virtual meeting. And at the virtual meeting, it's expected that after you read all the comments that you guys got from the informational session, you begin to talk about each article. And it says either a motion to move an article pick up each article one by one with either a motion to move the article to the alternative ballot as printed or amend it. So I'm looking at this virtual meeting as the opportunity for the community to make amendments to the warrant.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Now, the problem is I don't know how we take a vote virtually. So I think what that really means is that their recommendation to you, but to change that, I guess. We should clarify that with the lawyer, counsel, to make sure that that's, the question, we can't vote virtually. And the only votes that are actually going to be taken would be at the drive-through vote.
Right. Yeah, so Bob, to your question, so when we have the live Zoom or Microsoft Teams second meeting, and we had input from the first meeting that says we should lower the overall operating budget by $50,000, then we will discuss that warrant article, which releases the operating budget, and we'll say, okay, anybody want to comment on this? And then we have someone raise their hand electronically, and we say, okay, go ahead. They say that they would like to see it raised by $50,000. Okay. So then after all comments are taken during that public discussion virtually, then the commissioners, still with the system on, Zoom Live, we discuss amongst ourselves without any further input.
whether we want to take that consideration into hand and change and amend that article by $50,000. Then
right.
we would vote that that would then become the final wording of that article, and that's what would be posted for the drive-through ballot.
Where are you getting
that's
that information, Jay? Where are you getting that from?
Yeah, so this is the Drummond and Woodsman.
Let me just say one thing that concerns me. You guys are basing everything off of a note from a lawyer based on what they read, not off the law itself.
As I'm
summarizing this thing from Drummond, sure. Drummond Woodsman is our attorney, right?
They're also the NHMA's attorney. They're affiliated with NHMA's
attorney.
Okay, but a lot of what they're saying in here are what you should do, not what you have to do. So just keep that in mind, guys.
You're right.
I think you're overcomplicating this whole thing. I think you are really overcomplicating this.
Jay, can I interrupt here? This is Kathy. I think that every one of these questions is absolutely valid because we don't know if we're having two meetings, three meetings, or four meetings, or three meetings and a drive-through. I think when you get to your February 6th seminar that hopefully all of these things will be answered. And what I would like is to get from Bob a list of, okay, 1 through 4, 4 being the drive-through voting. What's going to happen prior to that? The communication to the public, which is what we have to do first, has to be worried. I think we're just sending, a letter saying, here's what's going to happen in the next, over the next 90 days or 60 days, and explain to them how they're going to participate in this annual process. And we have to get that out 7 days prior to that first interaction with the public. And we're scheduled to do that February 24th, 5th, 6th, somewhere in there, which means we've got, 3 weeks to get that done.
January.
So we've got, 3 weeks to get that done.
Which is before the February 6th meeting.
Right, so we've got to be prepared. When you and Jay come back from that meeting, maybe the two of you can put your heads together and give us, here's what happens, Roman numeral 1. Get the mailing, all the taxpayers, here's what we have to tell them. And then and be very specific, 1, 2, 3, 4, what each one of those steps is and the date requirements for them.
Occur well after the notice needs to go out. So we can't wait for the seminar. And I think at this point, we saw the correspondence last night from our attorney, Chris Bolt. I think we should consult with him because he's also very much familiar with this as well.
That's what we pay him for. I think that Jay's right. It's different. We can't really wait till February 6th to get those kinds of answers.
Until February 6th. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking that meeting was January. Why are they waiting so late?
I thought
it was January 6th they were doing it.
Yeah. They didn't foresee this happening when they scheduled this a long time ago. And now, obviously, that date is—it's too late for really everybody.
So I take that back. So instead of waiting till the seminar, maybe have Chris Bolt send us. Chris Bolt has to look at the dates of our meeting, and we have to push our annual meeting out another week or two to give us time to make this happen, so that everybody gets a chance to participate and that we don't stumble throughout this process. And we can still move our annual meeting date out a week.
I agree.
Well,
I think it makes sense to move
the town meeting.
I just read this Drummond and Woodson thing, and it doesn't even change what I'm quoting from the NHMA, the law. I really think you're overthinking this whole thing. I do think I agree with Bob now that I'm reading this that we should have discussion, but I also think it's not that complicated, guys. I think it's going to be a little chaotic, the actual on call. But the process, if you just read through this very step by step, the process is not that complicated. I do have a question about, I think the public hearing thing is a really important question, whether you need to have a separate public hearing, or does this replace the hearing and the live meeting, or does it just replace the live meeting? I think that's a really critical question in terms of scheduling dates. But then given how much lead time you need. But really, all you're doing is you're replacing, if you think about the actual live meeting, you're replacing it with two online sessions, regardless of what you call them, okay? And at the first one, we're telling people, here's our proposed warrant, send us all your questions and answers. And we could decide we wanted it to be live, but it sounds like it's almost easier if people send them in, because then what you do, and then that week, we meet amongst ourselves. We don't deliberate publicly. We meet amongst ourselves. We decide what we want the final warrant to be. We publish that. We go to the next meeting, which is within seven. We've got to do that all. That's going to be a busy week. We post that. And then we have the second virtual session, which is the actual meeting. We go through it line by line. And that's the one that's going to be chaotic, because you're going to have people commenting and trying to. But we also at that one read everybody's comments that they've sent in that week, right? So we read everybody's comments. So we're summarizing what people have already said, and then maybe we allow for some discussion. I think that the biggest question is, there can be amendments, it sounds like, can be made, some amendments. I don't really totally understand the issue around amendments, but then that meeting ends. And then a week later, or however long later, we send everybody the final warrant. It's a sample ballot. So we then have to then put that together, get it in the mail. So maybe you do that. I don't know, then you have timing, and then people show up and they vote, period. That's it. I think if you follow it step by step, like what happens here, what happens here, not that complicated.
I would agree. I think that's how I started, but the discussion by saying it really is not all that complicated. I have a couple of questions which I'm hoping to get answered on February 6th, one of which is, how do you make amendments at this virtual meeting? How do you vote on an amendment at this virtual meeting? I don't really know how you do that, you know?
Yeah, Bob, the public will not be able to vote electronically, because there's no way of verifying each person on Zoom is actually the person that they say they are. So it'll be taking their comments as a board of commissioners, and while the meeting is still going on and we've ended the comment section, we, the three commissioners, will decide what motion or what article to amend if it's necessary, and everyone will hear us in our discussion and then our vote, and that will become, like Paula said, the final ballot, which will then be printed and put online, and then a week later, people drive through and actually check off a yes or no to that question.
You're saying, after all the communications are read, the governing body should take up each article one by one with either a motion to move or a motion to amend it. So we make the decision about amending. It's not those motions that would not be made, and we would do that amongst ourselves on the call. I know what you're saying.
I interpret that originally from the document that you were referring to, that would be something that you would do even after the meeting, as long as it gets done quickly to get the final warrant posted. I'm not sure it's necessary that you during the meeting make that decision. You need to keep in mind that, you know, if you get a lot of people in favor of changing it and you don't, it's more likely not going to pass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah,
so,
that makes sense.
You know, right.
I think that makes sense.
And it's tough because you listen to one person say, I think that your budget's too high and you should reduce it, and you hear one or two people say that, it's difficult to extrapolate that to what the general public feels, because most people that agree with you don't speak up. So that's going to be the challenge that, you know, it's...
And a lot of them won't even, you know, log in, you know.
You could also do it as a virtual show of hands. You could say, could people just raise their hands if they agree with this? Like, we could try to find a way to ask people, to, even though they're muted, to sort of say, if people are making comments and you agree, you should do some wave at us or put a thumbs up that you agree with what that person's saying, to give us a sense of how people in general feel about it. You could do something like that. It's not a vote. We're just sort of looking at the crowd saying, people seem to be agreeing with this.
Right. Okay. My hope is that on February 6th, we'll get some kind of guidance as to the best way of handling that. You know, there's certain things that I hope to find out on February 6th. That's one of them. The other thing, now that we've decided on that, we haven't picked dates yet. The thing we have not discussed is the actual voting. Sounds simple, but do we allow absentee ballots, and how do those get handled? There's no mention of absentee voting here. That's always that's a given. Yeah, that's a given, Bob, that absentee ballots always are available because of people who are in the service overseas.
Right, but that's only for voting for officers. That's only voting for the officers.
In the past, that's how it's been, only for voting for officers. But if the voting for officers is simply just the first article in the warrant, right?
Yes.
No, it's part of the warrant.
Let me finish.
We could never put the rest of the warrant on the absentee ballot because you have discussion and motions have to be made and so forth. This is a little bit different this year because we will have already made the motion, and you will have a final list of articles to be voted on. So it seems as though we could allow absentee ballot voting for the articles as well. Again, this is something that I would hope to get nailed down in the first six.
So the ballot, Bob,
question.
Yeah, Bob, the ballot that will be handed out during the drive-through, the top section will contain the candidates that are running for the open offices. And underneath that will be all the warrant articles. It's all one ballot this year. And so
Jay, I don't think so. So they were talking about the regular ballot for officers, and then there's the alternative, the alternate ballot, which is the budgets and the warrant articles.
They were referring to it as two
separate pieces of paper.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I thought.
And I think you're right. You would still have absentee voting for the warrant for the officers because that's not going to change. You would still do that because right now somebody who's overseas cannot vote on the warrant articles anyway because they're not at the meeting. So it's very crazy.
Right, because it's not COVID dependent.
Right.
Right, but there's no deliberative. Right, but it's like SB2. When you go in to vote for SB2, you vote for the elected officers and you also vote for the articles. All on the same day, all on the same piece of paper.
Well, we're not SB2.
We're not SB2, so it doesn't matter.
No, but this is what it's become because of the COVID. We are taking away the deliberative session so that articles cannot be amended at that last drive-through meeting. But the ballot will be completely full and ready, and you either vote yes or no. There's no discussion. So why would you not allow
it? I would reread that. I read, Bob and Paula, I read that there was two separate pieces of paper, one ballot for officers, and then that anybody that wants a ballot, an absentee ballot, will get that ballot, or they can drive through and get the ballot, and then there'll be a separate ballot for the budgets and the warrant articles. Two separate pieces of paper.
I read that
even too. If there is two separate pieces, so the question is, assuming there is two separate pieces of paper, which I agree with you, that's how I read it. The question is, do they get absentee ballots for the warrant articles as well as the office? That's the question.
There's no mention of that whatsoever in any of the discussion.
There's no mention of anything about absentee ballots.
They can't get it because it could change at the last minute. You couldn't
get an absentee ballot for that unless it was within the week after it's posted. Right? We post. Is it 2 weeks? We have to post. Oh, I'm forgetting the day before the vote. How do we get down to that? The final. Is posted once the warrant is finally posted. Public consider another public mailing. So they're considering another public mailing with the final warrant and specific instructions for drive-through. So I don't know how much time is needed to be allowed for that. But during that time is when an absentee ballot, in my thinking, could be made available. But I don't know how you have a separate check for that or not. This is some of the questions I guess I would expect to either get answered on February 6th or from the lawyer to tell us if it's even possible that we could do that. Because they can't vote on the articles until there's a final warrant.
Right. So, and you're going to need more than 2 weeks
It says, in a traditional town or district meeting, an official ballot will be printed for the election of officers and other items that are required to be placed on the official ballot. That's what's the absentee ballot, and that's the official ballot. Then all other warrant articles will be printed on a separate ballot, which is the alternative ballot. Why would you think and that a special ballot? There's nothing that specifies that the alternative ballot has to go to absentee voters. Nothing. So why would
nothing says it has to. There's nothing that says it has to. You're right. I'm just wondering whether that's something we would want to do because of COVID.
No, because you're saying because people because they drive up because of COVID. That's the option for dealing with COVID is the drive up voting. It allows for all the COVID. You're saying so people don't even want to show up to drive through because of COVID. I mean, this is the option we're providing. No, guys, this is the option we're providing here. The option.
You have to provide November elections were also, if you didn't even feel safe driving up, you didn't have to drive up. You got to mail it.
Yeah, but the ballot decided that was only
election of an officer.
Yeah this is a temp- this no is dis- not according to what happened in November. This is a new law for town meeting. It has nothing to do with the November election. 11/29/83 temporary optional town meeting procedures.
All right. All right.
And if it's voting on final, should be, it's through drive-up procedures to ensure social distancing. You guys, read the law. Read the law. It's very clear. I don't
I agree with you, Paula. It doesn't make sense that if you want to vote on the paving of Idlewise Drive, you have to drive up and take a chance of contracting the virus. And if you're voting by absentee ballot, you can't. That doesn't make sense.
Well, explain how they get the absentee ballot. They do that by mail now?
Yeah. Yep. Well, they can either once everybody's filed for candidacy, we can then print them because we know who's running for which office, and then they have to either pick up an application for the absentee ballot with proof of ID, and then once that ballot's finalized, we can mail it to them, or if they wait till January 29th, when the last date to file for candidacy is, they can come in, fill out the application for the absentee ballot by mail or in person, and then we will mail them we can give them the final ballot because those names will then be on the ballot.
Right, but they're not going to come in, right?
Well, we can put it in the mailbox for them. We'll have to have some way of identifying them because they can't get the application without a signature, and we have to somehow prove their signature.
That was my question here. How is that done? How are we validating people this year?
So it's a signature process. Yeah, for the absentee ballot.
We'll have to figure that out.
Oh, you mean at the drive-through, Bob?
No, not the
drive-through. Well, no, to get the application for an absentee ballot. You have to prove who you are.
Okay, to get the application, anybody can get an application. But it gets validated when it comes in and the person's name is checked against the checklist. And his signature is
You know what? Let me back up, Jay. You know what? Kevin got an absentee ballot when he was down here in Florida and he had to mail a copy of his license with it. So at least we know the person applying for it was the person's name that was on the ballot.
Yeah.
They can email us. They want an absentee ballot. We can mail it to them. They've got to complete it, return it to us with proof of ID.
Yeah,
some sort of documentation. Passport, driver's license, whatever it may be.
Yeah, the checklist committee will ask for your ID because that's New Hampshire law. So a copy of it on
drive-through.
The absentee
ballot. That's doing the drive-through. That's at the drive-through.
Well,
No.
Why would you show a paper copy? When you have your actual license with you in your car.
No, for absentee.
Yeah, for absentee.
Oh, for absentee. Oh, I thought you said, okay. When they do the drive-through voting, then they look for your, they want a visual of your license as well.
You press your ID against the glass window. Okay, I've got some questions that I'm going to ask the lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
The point being, I don't know how you would be able to handle logistically all of those things to have absentee balloting for the warrant articles.
Yeah.
I think just like Paula said, I think we have to assume that the absentee balloting is simply for the offices, and then they have to come to the drive-through if they want to vote on the articles. Just like in the past, they've had to come to the meeting and be there in order to vote on the articles.
Yeah,
so I
think we need to do that. I agree with that.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's simpler, and I think it's still a fair way of doing it. People, you know, will have masks on, gloves on, as the people checking people and so forth. It will be as safe as it probably can be. You know, if,
it maintains the integrity of the process that it was without this. If you all of a sudden said, hey, we're going to have absentee for all the Warren articles, you're changing the way that town meetings work and the way that local voting works on Warren. So that's why they haven't addressed it, because it doesn't need to be addressed. Because you have to be there, and we're doing it now. It's like you have to vote by drive-up in order to vote. That's what the law calls for. The fact of the matter is, Jay, is that if we had decided that we didn't want to do this, that we wanted to have an in-person meeting and find a good venue for it, then it would not be an issue either. People would have to attend the meeting. So I don't even think it needs to be clarified. It is what it is.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
But
I guess my concern is that I guess the first thing we have to do is date-wise determine, you know, when we have to mail out letter to the voter. I can create the mailing list. I can get the labels all set to go so that Donna's not handwriting, you know, 200 labels or 200 envelopes.
I got the checklist. I'll get an updated checklist from them so we have the I have the,
and I can
the,
take
last,
it.
The most recent. Yeah, the most recent one I have is of November 6th, so I'll give them a buzz on Monday.
So if Bob and I can actually work on this informational letter that will be going out at very first.
Okay.
Bob, do you want to work on it with me?
Yep.
Okay. And that way we'll identify the communication letter, then... The first, when you say an informational session, is the informational session going to be basically a budget hearing, or is it going to be an informational session on how the voting is going to occur?
Both. I think you have to clarify whether we still need the budget meeting as as the informational. I think that will change the dates of things.
Okay. Right? Is there a separate informational meeting?
30 days. Right?
Ask the lawyer if you're going to call. That's a great question for the lawyer.
That's the first question for the lawyer. That's right.
So is the first informational meeting, after we notify every single voter by mail, is it just to explain the process, or is it going to be our first budget hearing where we present our proposed budgets and our proposed warrant articles? Or do we do both?
Yeah, the informational session, which is after they get their letter, of the optional meeting, is conducted virtually and should be streamed or accessible by phone electronically. The information session should be dedicated to thoroughly discussing the process and the warrant articles contained on the posted warrant, which includes the budget.
Okay.
But the budget is
okay.
Is an
so that's going to be so basically yep. It's our first budget and hearing with. Okay, got it.
I don't know. That's the whole thing is I don't know whether it precludes us having to do a budget hearing. I thought the law was the budget hearing had to be done like 30 days ahead of time.
Right. But, Bob, listen, that's what Jay's saying. Our budget hearing that's scheduled for the end of January, we're going to set it up through virtually with Microsoft Teams. So there'll be video, there'll be audio, there'll be a presentation, there'll be interaction, there'll be questions and answers. That's going to be that meeting. The first part of the meeting will explain how we're going to vote and how the rest of the annual meeting is going to occur. And then we will go say, okay, so now that we know how all these the process is going to be, here is the proposed budget and here are the warrant articles. So both those things will happen at that one meeting. And then
take place in January then.
We have a meeting scheduled for the end of January.
We'll get clarification on the timing from our lawyer.
Yeah,
because that's got to be 30 days. That first meeting's got to be 30 days before the annual meeting.
That's not what this says. The information session doesn't state that it has to be done 30 days before the other. In fact, it can only be done.
That's what we're going to get clarification from our lawyer.
Okay. All right.
You keep talking about once we know that, then we know the date. If it's one and the same. then we don't do it in January.
Right. Well, it's got to be 30 days before our annual meeting, so we kind of have to.
Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think that the informational session is the same.
Hearing it.
I do not think that. The question becomes whether we have to do both.
And well, I think the other question is if you have to do both. And if you do though, is it 30 days before the first meeting or the second meeting? Is it 30 days before the voting day? Is it 30 days before the alternate meeting, or is it 30 days before the information center?
Let our lawyer give the answer.
Yeah. Okay. And Jay, I think you're right. What you just said was that first meeting will be, and you said specifically the procedures that we're going to be handling or the procedures that we're going to be following going forward, and the budget and the warrant articles. Those two things will be talked about at that first virtual meeting.
Yes,
that's correct.
Okay, and then
the second one has to happen within 7 days. So that first meeting will not be 30 days before the vote. And my thinking is the actual virtual meeting, remember in this document it referred to an information session, and then it referred to a virtual meeting and then the vote. There was no mention about a budget hearing. I believe that those three things make up the annual meeting, separate from any kind of a budget hearing. I believe that's the case. I believe that you still have to do a budget hearing so people can hear what's going on and find out what the budget's going to be and the warrant articles. Gives them time to let that all sink in. Give comment to you so you're allowed to change it before you post the warrant. That's the purpose of the budget hearing. So I think that still needs
Jay,
to happen.
But Jay, read what you just read. After the mailing goes out, read that to me again.
The information session of the optional meeting shall be conducted virtually and should be streamed and accessible by phone or electronically. The information session should be dedicated to thoroughly discussing the process and the warrant articles contained on the posted warrant. That's the posted sample warrant.
And that's our budget hearing.
I think, Kathy, you're right. I was thinking it's very similar to a budget hearing. So it may just be repetitive. It may be, but I think they're doing it this way so that it's clear that people have, it's closer to the voting date.
And the fact is, normally we would have one budget hearing, and it was an interactive session, and then we would then take that information to the annual meeting with the final warrant, which could be discussed at the annual meeting. Since we can't do that, there's a second budget hearing where we will review and discuss everybody's opinions and concerns, so that's sort of the almost like the deliberative session in a way.
And then the third thing will be the vote. Kathy, I would rethink that. I wouldn't have two budget hearings. I think we schedule one. If we have to do other meetings now. I think we say we schedule one budget hearing. We figure out a way to make sure we get through it.
We schedule one budget hearing. We use it.
No, but we always have a second one just in case we don't have enough time. But if we're going to do these other online sessions, I think we would have one budget hearing and that would be it.
But there
would be. Then there'd be this other meeting. Well, let's find out if we have to have a budget hearing first. Let's just confirm that and then we can discuss it. But I don't think we need to have two budget hearings and these other two sessions.
I think they're one and the same. I think the sessions, you're right, the way that they explain it, when they say session, I mean, the session is the budget hearing. I think it's one and the same. You're having a meeting virtually.
If that's the case, why does the law specify that you have to have a budget hearing 30 days before the annual meeting? I think we need to validate that the budget hearing is no longer required. Because we do not have a budget hearing. We have a virtual session, informational session and a virtual session. Those two eliminate the discussion at an annual meeting. And then the actual voting.
So we're having three?
The vote. So you're not having three. You may have to have three meetings, but I'm not sure. You've got to find out whether this replaces the requirement for the budget hearing. I'm not sure it would.
I got it.
I don't think that they've changed
that. I'll ask the attorney.
I don't think that. I didn't see anywhere where it precludes the existing law. I think they're all dealing.
You've got to have a budget hearing.
Annual meeting.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think Jay, you understand. You understand where I'm coming from and where Bob's coming from, correct?
Yeah. No, I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
And to differentiate between when they say, you know, a session. I mean, you can't have a whole session just on how you're going to drive up and vote. I mean, that's kind of silly. So I would think that by the time we get this virtual meeting, everybody's logged in and you're on meeting team, then that's the point where we discuss the budget and the warrant articles.
Right.
I would just send a simple note to the – if you would do this by email, I would appreciate it so we have an answer in writing. Can you just send a lawyer and just say – we just want to clarify, one, do we need to have a public hearing in addition to these other sessions? And if so, how many days in advance, 30 days in advance of which meeting does it have to occur? That's it. That's the question.
Yep.
And ask him in writing, and that way we have his answer in writing, and we're very clear about what we're asking in writing.
Right. And to Bob's questions with regards to the two sessions, when do those meetings occur in comparison?
Right, because we might have to push our annual meeting out. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we don't have it. Right. The question is the voting date the annual meet, our old annual meeting date, or is it the second meeting that we want to have on that date and have voting 2 weeks later? We're going to need some time between the second session and the voting because you then actually have to put a sample ballot in the mail to people. So that's going to take more than 7 days.
No, we don't. We don't have to. We don't have to mail it. We don't have to mail in the full warrant.
It
has to be posted.
I don't think we have to mail in the full warrant.
It needs to be made widely available.
You're right. Okay, I thought you had to mail it to them. Okay.
Okay, we can make a dozen copies, put them in the mailbox, and anybody can pick them up anytime.
It does say consider another public mailing with the final warrant.
There you go. We don't have
to. I don't think that's a requirement, but it's telling you to consider it.
Okay.
Okay, got it.
My mistake. Okay. Yep.
So Jay, how many meetings do we have to have before the drive-through voting? And is the drive-through voting on March 6th considered the annual meeting, or is that session where we discuss everybody's concerns and opinions on the budget and warrant articles, is that considered the annual meeting?
No, the annual meeting is the day that everybody votes.
Okay, so that's going to be that's the drive-through voting date is going to be March 6th as it stands today, and
I don't think that's clear in the new law.
Yeah.
I would clarify that.
There's very little that's clear in this.
Right. The only thing that was clear was the fact that you have the second meeting within seven days from the first meeting. That's the only
right.
As far as dates go, that's the only thing that was clear to me.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just want you to know, one of my concerns is that the concern I have about the budget set, because
go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry, I can't.
The concern I have about the budget hearing is I don't want somebody who likes to complain and so forth. And you know, we have a couple of those people in the village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
and everybody does. Yeah.
We follow the law correctly because we never had a budget hearing. I agree with you.
I absolutely. And we should do it right. We should do it right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We have to be very clear from a legal standpoint. You know, whether we require or not, because it doesn't have to be as an intent. You know, but it may be required. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
And maybe Jay, too. I don't know. You know, is Linda the one coordinating all this for Madison?
So Madison decided Tuesday after we had our meeting at their meeting.
Oh, you're right.
They started
they're
discussing
not going to do
this.
It.
They're not doing it.
They're going to do a normal social distancing meeting. How are they going to do that?
Where are they having it? Out in the ball field? Are they hiring the gym like you suggest, like Ham Arena?
Ham Arena. That'd be big enough.
Is that what they're doing?
They have decided that that's what they're going to do and hope that nobody comes. I'm assuming because it's 46 limit is going to be exceeded with a regular annual meeting. And once the 47th person walks in, meeting's over.
I don't know.
Okay, so I think that there's enough questions that need to be answered. So I don't know if we can kind of let Bob go, and if there's any other issues that we have to discuss today.
Not with this. We have some good questions to have answered. This is great.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Bob, what do you think otherwise? If we want to also logistically, I'm just throwing this out. I talked to Linda Shackman this morning before this meeting, and I said if we need to borrow the paved parking lot at the school because it's a one-way in, one-way out, could we do so? Because that'd be a lot safer than having people use the hot wall parking lot for the drive-thru.
Right.
Oh, I would definitely do it at the school.
Yeah, if it's on a Saturday or a weekend, no problem.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And I like the idea of people, alphabetically, if your name, last name is A through M, you come from, 10 to 11, and if it's L through Z, you come from 1 to 2.
I don't know if you could do that.
Well, you can't. It's just a suggestion. Yeah. It's not compelling. But, yeah.
Okay, all right. I mean, how many people vote? 100 at the most?
Yeah, we don't have that many.
So anyway, okay, so that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there, so all right.
All right. So, Bob,
all right,
anything
so Jay,
else?
I think, all right, so Jay and Paula, maybe if each, Paula, you and I, can kind of write down how we're interpreting all of this, and then Jay can look at that and maybe copy Bob so that kind of all this discussion is kind of summarized into how we're interpreting what we need to do going forward.
Okay, is our goal, though, so at our next meeting, which is next Thursday, is to hopefully have answers to these questions and then set all the dates and then really set out who's going to do what in terms of communication and next steps.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I would sort of shoot for. So I don't know, Bob, if you can check in with us at a certain point during that meeting, that would be great.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Okay. We also, as commissioners at our next meeting and meetings probably one or two after that, need to really finalize the budget, fine-tune it, as well as any warrant articles and any petitioned warrant articles that may come in.
Yes.
All right? Okay.
Yep.
Hey, Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
We'll talk
so much.
To you later. Oh,
okay.
Jay, say, before you hang up, what about swearing me in?
What about what?
Swearing me in.
Oh, yes. Are you here today?
I am.
Okay, I will be coming by your house. Text me a time.
I do have to go. I have a personal issue with my brother-in-law I got to deal with this morning. But why don't we say, how does 3 o'clock sound?
3 o'clock is the latest. Not any later than 3, because I got an appointment at 4. Yeah.
Okay, well, all right, all right. What time is it now?
10:20.
How long
do you think you're going
to be tied up in the meeting?
maybe an hour more, hopefully not more, but maybe an hour.
Well, hopefully not.
Okay. All right.
Please not.
All right, why don't we figure, how about we figure 2:30?
2:30 is fine. Perfect.
Okay, I'll see you then.
Okay, I'll be at your house. Thank you.
All right, yep, bye-bye.
Okay. Okay. So, Bob is really our interim moderator because Bob was never sworn in after last year.
Okay.
But, I'll just need one of those forms. Donna's getting that for me now.
Okay. All right.
So going back to the agenda, and I just look up at Donna. Was there anything else, Donna?
No. Okay. So I'll still wait to file that thing to the Sun Chronicle.
Yep.
Okay, so I think it's now the minutes to approve.
Yep, we got the
you
minutes
have
of
those
12:21. I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes.
12:17. Oh, no, minutes of 12:21, I'm sorry.
And, the
non-public
session. This will be the public session, 12:21.
I'll second.
Okay. Any amendments or discussion? Okay. All in favor of approving the December 21st, 2020 minutes, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Don, if you could send me the ones we approved on Tuesday these, I'll post them on the website.
Okay.
And the non-public.
They will write the list.
Nope.
Okay. They're right in front of you.
Oh, these. Oh, this is the one pager. That's right.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's just that form.
Yeah.
Okay. So the non-public of 12/17/2020. Anybody? I'll make the motion to approve these. Does anybody have any amendments or concerns, comments?
Why don't you do 12/17 and oh no, never mind. Second, I say you can do both of them at the same time. Okay, 12/17
okay.
is I would. I'll vote yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yes. Okay. And then 12/21.
Who seconded?
Apology.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, Kathy did actually.
Okay.
Kathy.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And the non-public of 12/21/2020. I make the motion to approve. Do we have any amendments or concerns?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Aye. I vote yes.
All right.
Okay. All right.
And then you saw the Brad Jones back and forth.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
we got accounts payable.
Okay. We have the accounts payable on I revised the accounts payable because Catherine fixed the New Hampshire retirement. So the Kelly and Jeff are getting a refund that was submitted for the bonus of March. The payroll check was $327. So those are four checks for $245.
That's the total or even?
That's the total for
the
corrected manifest.
Yeah, okay.
So to clarify, because we took the New Hampshire retirement out of their pay, which that bonus was not eligible for New Hampshire retirement, right?
Right.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And
then we'll get a credit for our portion as well toward the next month's premium.
Yes, it's in the forwarded to the retirement, and when they get it corrected, they'll notify us.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
So
do I have a motion to approve the manifest of $402.87?
No. This is the $245.
Oh, I'm sorry. The $245 here and no cents.
Yeah.
I'll second that. I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. And this is just what I had that was left after Tuesday's meeting, the manifest for four checks. So, Jay, you can read the amount. That's the four.
Yeah, the total of the three checks, right?
Three checks.
Yeah, $402.87. They went to Eastern Heat, Eastern Fuel, FW Webb, and New Hampshire Municipal Association.
That's just the moderator's workshop.
Yep.
That was a debit card.
Yep, okay. And I'll make that motion to approve the manifest $402.87. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
So Donna, now that we've kind of closed out business for 12/31, next week, if you could send me the updated P&L on Monday or Tuesday next week.
Okay.
That way we can incorporate all that into the budget.
That's when I had to correct the numbers. Okay. And last Tuesday's manifest, the check numbers were incorrect on the manifest page. Catherine was working, correcting things. So when I printed off the checks printed the correct numbers. So I corrected the manifest page. So that just has to be reapproved with the correct check numbers of the checks.
Okay.
So I'll make that motion that we approve the manifest cover page with the correct check numbers. We've already approved the amount. Okay, and any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And we have to initial this new cover page.
Yes.
Checks are already signed, so someone can come down and do that as well. And the other checks as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a signature item, 47 Idlewise Drive. Can you?
Okay. After Tuesday's meeting, Kelly had come up to the office because he had spoke with the attorney, Bob Carey. The homeowners will be having Permapave do the driveway. And everything's going to be to the Kelly's inspection report. So he said to go ahead and approve the driveway permit for construction with the conditions on as stated prior, and the homeowner the attorney's homeowner agreed to it with Kelly on the phone.
Okay. That's a motion to approve so Jay, you want to make a motion to approve the driveway permit?
I'll make a motion that we approve the driveway permit for number 47 Idlewise Drive. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, and the conditions are the same as installing the grate to catch the water before it sheds out onto the street. Okay?
Yeah, and then they got to pitch that driveway to the side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I vote aye.
Hopefully that resolves 47 Idlewise Drive.
Yeah. And today is 12/31. Wow.
Did everyone vote?
Yeah, I voted yes. You voted yes, Kathy?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Okay.
All right.
There you go with that. And commissioners' reports. We already
I'm sorry. On the agenda, we have ad for the Sun Chronicle. Obviously, that's not going to be placed until we straighten this out, right, with the meeting?
Right.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We already went over my stuff. The only other two things I had questions for is the small claims. For number four, Little Loop, did we get that form yet? Okay. If we could just keep that in mind.
Yep.
Also, I know we talked Tuesday, the Primex truck assessment. Not truck assessment.
We haven't heard back.
Okay. Maybe just reach out and give them a call. Try to get that out of the lot before the battery dies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So Kathy, I'm going to jump right to you.
Nothing. I've got nothing this week.
All right, Paula.
I have one thing for Kathy, since she's the web guru now. We need to post the January meetings, Kathy.
Okay. Yeah.
Today was the last meeting.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Today was the last one. Today was the last one posted, so we just need to.
So just go the same thing. I'll do each Thursday for the month of January.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought I meant the minutes.
So no, just the meeting. Should be posted, obviously, also at the mailboxes needs to be updated.
Right. Don does that.
Take down all the old ones and put up the January. The only thing I did hear back from Ian about the emergency water, and he's going to go through the plan and make up all the adjustments that need to be made. So he's basically doing most of the work. He said he would needed an updated number for our total connections. Currently, I think it's listed at 457. So I don't know if we have that from the water bills. Do we have a count on how many water connections that we have? If someone can just let me know that, and I can let him know.
Yep, I can. Yep.
Okay. And he said, I'll make updates to the mode of operation and each pump house equipment, as that has changed drastically in the last 5 years. He'll also send all current contact information over about the on-call for the phone tree. So he said he had a previous version of this. He thought potentially in his records that he could update and send over. So it's on his agenda now, so he'll be working on that. That's all I have.
Okay, good.
Good work, Paul. Speaking of emergency plans, I just put out an email yesterday with a list of engineers that will be able to help us create the dam emergency action plan.
Yeah,
so just wanted to give you a heads up on that. So I'm hopefully going to get a quote from several of those so that we can put that on a warrant article as well with the exact figure. All right?
Yeah. And we knew it was going to be costly.
And then in terms of the only question I have is, so, you know, you had mentioned, Jay, earlier that we should have a meeting, or maybe we do it at one of our regular meetings, but it never seems possible, to kind of go over one more time the budget and the Warren articles. Are the Warren articles drafted now so that they follow all the right language? Like, is that something
I can
help
with?
Why don't I do that?
Yep.
I can work on that for next week and send that out.
Here's another suggestion. Yeah. If we have our second administrative assistant, the best way to do it is to enter them into the portal, because it gives you the template, and then you can print them out and use that as your working document.
Okay.
And that way you're not retyping everything and reinventing the wheel.
Okay. Well, why don't I go through them, in the next couple days over the weekend and just get them, make sure that, and then I can send that to you guys, to her, and she can then input that, you know, at least get
that way they're all in there.
Yeah, she knows how to do the language for article, believe me. She knows.
Okay.
That'll be all right. I want to drop down to correspondence. We had an email from Mark Grapham. That was on the tracked vehicle. After last Tuesday's meeting, I did drive up on those roads that were indicated. Yes, a tracked vehicle did go up our paved road as well as our gravel roads, and was on site at a home that is under construction. So how do we want to address the owner of that vehicle?
We have an ordinance that prohibits that, and I do believe there's a fine indicated in the ordinance.
Okay. Do you, off the top of your head, do you know what the fine is?
I do not. But I do believe that there was a fine in the ordinance.
Is there another way for them to get up there? I didn't understand. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this ordinance issue.
No metal track vehicles shall be operated on village district roads, gravel or asphalt.
So they couldn't come into this road. So how would they get the vehicle? They couldn't bring the vehicle in. I don't understand what they would do.
There was a light snow that morning. The tractor trailer couldn't get up the hill. They unloaded the tracked vehicle, and of course that will go over anything, and they just drove it on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, let's look into the ordinance, and we will talk at our next meeting if we want to go ahead and issue a fine or just a letter of reprimand.
I would issue the fine. It's pretty clear. I mean, it doesn't repair the damage in the road. It's going to be. It's $150 or something like that, but still.
I would issue the fine. I think we got to.
Yep. I do too.
Okay. I'll look up the ordinance, Donna, and I'll feed you that information.
Okay.
We also got an email from David Modley, and I don't know if anybody had a chance to read all of it. There was quite a bit of information in there, but there was
There was 30 bullet points.
Yeah, there were comments made. I take offense. Because they're commenting
First of all, I don't think any of them were 91A requests. He was not requesting a single document.
Right.
I agree.
He was making observations. Go ahead, Donna.
Right.
He requested the daily water usage things.
Yeah.
The P&L, he did request all that December
8th.
Yeah.
Observations. Right. Now, one thing I can do is he made a lot of reference to bills that were paid in 2020 that were 2019 expenses. Send him, or Donna can send him, there's what, 3 pages of journal entries that are part of the audit that Tamer provided that addressed the majority of those questions, not about the water system or the gallons or any of that, but certainly those journal entries that were made to post stuff out of 2020 to back into 2019. And of course, we didn't know that till after the annual meeting, because the meeting was in March and the audit didn't come until June. So if you want, Donna can send him those transactions.
Yeah, but
it's a public document, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you just
affirm
the
audit?
Why don't you just say a lot of this was addressed in the audit, or don't address the whole thing? I mean, to me, it's like you address the whole thing, or you don't address any of it. I don't know. Yeah. If it wasn't a 91A request, are we required to reply to it?
Yeah.
Some of those things we should take a look at. Some of them have already been addressed. Others are, if the readings coming from the pumps are wrong, there's nothing we can do to correct them. I mean, you know, if we're just taking the readings that we're getting off that SCADA.
I
took offense to the tone and pointing at either us commissioners, which I don't mind. I'll take it. I'll take the blame. But do not criticize my employees. I just didn't think it was wrong. I didn't think it was helpful. And a lot of comments. So I'll just bring up one just to end the discussion here. There was a discussion about, for example, Monadnock Archaeological. Okay, and we decided to take that out of the operating budget. There was plenty of discussion on that. Yes, we did get his email this year, 2020, and we discussed it again as to why we did that, because that was not eligible for the grant reimbursement. Is that correct, Kathy?
Right. And the same thing with the legal bills. That was an intentional decision made by the board that we legally could do. He may not agree with it, but that's fine.
Right.
But we're not going to go back and change the 2019 audit because of his concern.
Right. And so I appreciate looking over us, and people should do that. But,
I agree.
I just would hope that criticism be in a more polite form. Hey, I'm not perfect, and I'll be the first to admit that. I've made plenty of mistakes.
Do you want Donna to at least forward those journal entries? Because that would address a lot of his questions.
No, I don't think it's necessary. Let them do a 91A request.
Okay.
I mean, it will answer
his
question.
He's got the audit. If he doesn't understand some information that was in the audit that addresses his questions, then he's just wrong. And taking time off from our administrator to address the fact that he has wrong information based on what's publicly, and he's got the audit. Are you saying the answer is in the audit, Kathy, or is it somewhere else?
I don't know. I don't know if the Tamer puts all of the journal entries in the audit. That I don't know.
These were
like a worksheet that she said, okay, in order to prepare the final audit, make these adjustments.
Okay.
So therefore, the budget we proposed, the budget we presented at the annual meeting would be different than what the actual budget was, because we did have, and I didn't know at the time, as the bills came in January and February, that we should be doing that, to be posting them back to the previous year. Now we know that we will do that going forward. But at the time, we waited to let Tamer do it, you know, post back payroll that was paid in January but was for December hours and things of that nature.
Oh, I see.
So,
With
Catherine on board and Donna and I having gone through that process, it'll be much more accurate when we get to this year's annual meeting.
Okay.
The bottom line is a lot of us here are learning, we're just trying to become better at what it is we're trying to do.
Yeah. And not knowing is not an excuse, and we will admit that.
Right. Yeah.
All right, what else, Jay? What else have you got?
Yep. We got the NMHA Bulletin, which we've all read, the Neighborhood Energy Bulletin, which looks like we lost some money.
Great. Okay.
And tabled items are actually tabled. Do we have any public appearances?
Dinah.
Oh, Dinah, we had asked you to get back to us with something today about the bank.
About the difference in...
So I contacted our commercial lender at Bank of New Hampshire regarding that extra money for the truck.
Yep.
We have a payment that's going to be due January 15th, our first payment.
Yep.
And what I agreed to do was to put in that almost $7,000 in as a principal reduction at that time.
Okay.
Nice.
And they were fine with that. I have a little follow-up to do with that, but I think that's the best way to do that.
Okay. So could you send an email to the office or get something from the bank so that if there's ever a question going forward why we did that, we have something in writing from either you or from the bank?
Yeah.
I think it's in your minutes. Should be.
From last week or this week? We can,
right now.
Yeah, we can actually validate it and codify it.
Okay, so we should make a motion to do. We should make a motion to do that then.
Okay, we'll make. I'll make the motion, and we go ahead and pay the remaining money of that bond and use that as a principal.
Reduction.
What do you call it?
Reduction. Reduction. Okay.
Yep. Right. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
There's just one more tidbit of information I got. I called Linda at the Madison Town Hall. Usually we have gotten the tax check this last week of December. However, we won't be getting it till January 13th because they were delayed, so everything is delayed. So okay. I will be going down to pick up our tax check on January 13th.
Okay.
That's a Monday.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you.
All right. And I think if there's no other public appearances, is there any public comment? Hearing none, do we
have
any other business?
The fine for using steel track vehicles on district roads shall be $100 for each offense.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So is the offense, is one offense bringing it up and the other offense bringing it back down again?
Well, once it's...
I don't know if the vehicle is probably still up there.
Oh, you're good
I could go.
Good point.
Yeah, I could
good
go
point,
check.
Exactly. Yeah.
And let them know right
and
away they can't bring it back down.
Are you finding the homeowner or the person that owns the truck, the vendor?
The person
I would
that
say
hired
the person
them.
Owning... Yeah, the person... Well, the person owning the truck... because until the truck arrived at the person's private property, it's a matter of why were you driving your vehicle on this road. It's not because the homeowner told them to do so. It was the truck driver's choice to do so.
Yeah, but isn't the homeowner liable for their vendors that they hire for the things that they do? I mean, as a vendor, is somebody going to pay this fine? Or, I mean, a homeowner, at least we can... We have, we have cause for getting the money.
Recourse.
Recourse.
Yeah. So
some truck guy.
So Jay, was it somebody that's done work in this district before? Was it a contractor that would have known of that policy?
Yeah, it's our contractor as well, Dawson's.
Oh.
Okay, it was Dawson's. Okay, so they would have known, or should have known. Okay.
Yeah. So to Paula's point, though, if I hired a plumber. And he came to my house to fix my water heater, and while he was tightening some bolts, and in his toolbox he had a fifth of gin, and he took a couple of swigs and then went out back on the road to go home and got in an auto accident, that's not the homeowner's responsibility. That would be the plumber.
Okay, well, figure out who we should send the bill to. If it's Dawson, send it to Dawson's. Okay.
Yeah, it's Dawson's, yeah.
Okay, all right. So send the bill to Dawson, especially since it's somebody that should have known.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
all
not
right.
The first time. And, I think that's all we have. Do I have a motion to adjourn? I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
A second. Okay. Any further discussion or any of the last-minute business? Hearing none.
Nope.
I'll adjourn the meeting at
10:44.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Happy New Year, you guys. Okay.
Yeah,
Happy
New Year.
Everybody.
Stay safe.
Oh, wait. Donna, do you need me to come to the office?
To sign the thing? Diane already left, so.
Give me
a few minutes.
When you,
all right.
Okay.
I'll come in about 10
minutes. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Okay. Bye,
I'll come down in about, I'll come down in about 10 minutes. I'll text you as I'm leaving. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I'll put it in the mailbox.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.